Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word and Broadcast. And you know, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me the opportunity once again to share the very Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, it doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. Now, the phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing over the air, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN, @gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. I also want to say for those of you who wants to call in, but hey, you may have a question. You don't want to give your name, and I'm not trying to tell you to make up a lie or false, but you can just say your initials or just where you're from. Amen. I know that. And I understand that some people may have questions, but maybe they feel a little insecure about just giving their name. So you can give your initials or where you're from. So when you call and I say, hey, you're on the air with Brother Nate, whom I'm speaking with, you from Florida, you can say Florida, or you can just give your initials, N-E or whatever. But I just want to add that because I know that some people, you know, may have questions, but may be a little bit uncomfortable just giving their name right now. Amen. So before we go any further, let us pray. And I want to pray this prayer of the 91st Psalms. Amen. Some of you may be familiar with it. Some of you may not. But I want to pray this prayer of the 91st Psalms. Praise be to God as we get ready to go into the Word of God. Amen. So let us pray. As I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Dear Lord, I say unto you that you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God, and in you will I trust. Surely, Lord, you shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Lord, you shall cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I shall trust. Lord, your truth shall be my shield and buckler. I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. And only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made you, Lord, who is my refuge and my most high God, I have made you my habitation. Therefore shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For, Lord, you shall give your angels charge over me to keep me in all thy ways, and they shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. And by the authority you have given me, Jesus, I shall tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall I trample under my feet. Because, Lord, you have set your love upon me, and therefore you will deliver me. You will set me on high because you have known my name. I shall call upon you, Lord, and you will answer me. You will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and honor me. And with long life, Lord God, will you satisfy me and show me your salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue to the Word of God today. Thank God for the presence of the Spirit. Lord, I pray also that your Spirit would touch everyone that is listening to this Word today. Amen. And we're going to continue on in what is called the third message of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has sent through the Elijah that he mentioned in Matthew 17 and Malachi 4, and also that prophet that he's mentioned in Deuteronomy 18 and in Acts chapter 3. And we've been coming from this third message, amen, and thank God for his word. And this is one of the things that the Lord has commissioned me to tell you about this work. Amen. and how that he sent this message out. June the 12th, 1927. Amen. And I want to read a couple of things from this message as we go into our lesson tonight. The Lord said, "Arise and write the message that I will give you, for this is a day of which Christ spoke, a time of haste when much must be done." And we looked at that before. This is the Lord sent the Elijah to Brother Otto Fetting, who was bringing words from the Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah was. And he said that this is a time that Christ spoke of, a time of haste when much must be done. And we saw in Matthew 24, well, Jesus spoke of this time that we're looking at right now, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes, famines, fighting. And he said this was just the beginning of sorrows. And we're about to enter the next phase when he said, "And then shall they deliver you up to afflict you and kill you." Okay? And so the next thing he says, the instruction is sent. Now, this message that Jesus sent through the Elijah takes on different roles. And the different roles don't contradict one another. It is called the instruction. The instruction is sent to the wise, a warning, to the sleeper, an awakening, to the wicked, destruction. But to the people of the Lord, a message that Christ's coming is near at hand. Now, we have talked about this word that Jesus sent being an instruction, a warning for the wise. And we looked at who does the word declare to be the wise. And then he said that this word takes on a role of an awakening. He said to the sleeper, an awakening. This is something to awaken the sleeper. Now, that's the last thing we talk about, is who plays the role of the sleeper. Who does the sleeper represent? Amen. And now he says that this word plays another role of destruction. He said to the wicked, destruction. Okay, but to the people of the Lord, a message that Christ's coming is near at hand. Tonight, from this third message, we want to talk about God's word to man, the wicked. And this message that Jesus sent take on the road towards the wicked of destruction. So what we're going to do now is talk about, well, who is the wicked? Let's define it. Let's come from the word of God to see who is the wicked. Who will represent the wicked? Now, we're going to see who is the wicked from two sources. We're going to come from Webster Dictionary, and we're going to come from the Bible Concordance, and let's say a third one, the very word of God. Amen? And so the first thing we want to look at is that who is the wicked? That the word of the Lord said this word is destruction against the wicked, okay? In other words, this word will, you fight against this word will bring you down, okay? Hallelujah. Just like the Lord told Satan when he was Lucifer, he said, "I will destroy thee." And he brought him down. He brought him to ruins, okay? Hallelujah. So who is the wicked? Well, according to Webster, the wicked means someone that's evil, fierce, vicious, or causing or likely to cause harm, distress, or trouble. Okay? That's from Webster's standpoint of defining the wicked. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, we're going to go into the Word of God. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at what the Word has to say about the wicked, okay? What does the word say about who the wicked, what the wicked does, you name it. So let us go to the book of Job, chapter 22. The book of Job, chapter 22. Because we want to understand, when the Lord said that this word of the Lord is destruction To the wicked, it's going to be destruction. We want to see who is the wicked. Just like we look back at who was the sleeper, that this word take on a role as an awakening to the sleeper. And we wanted to look at and see who was the sleeper. Then when he said this word takes on a role of a warning to the wise, who will represent the wise? Now, we're looking at today that he said to the wicked, destruction. So this word would take on the role of destruction. It would bring you to ruins if you fight against it. And he said it is to the wicked, destruction. He didn't say to the wise or the sleeper. He said to the wicked, destruction. Amen. So let's go to Job, the book of Job. Amen. And I want to make sure I got this right. The book of Job, chapter 22 and verse 15. Chapter 22 and verse 15. Amen. And let's read what the Word of God said. The Word says, "Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden?" Wicked men have trodden. Okay. Now, one of the things that the Word tells us here is that wicked men, or those who are wicked, are ones who trodden the old way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16, Jesus said to his people, look for the old path, the old way, the old path, okay? The path, that the way that God has set up. When something is old, it has been around, okay? You understand what I'm saying? It's not something that just made up, it's something that's been around. And we see that wicked men, evil, fierce, vicious men, were trodden what is called the old way. Now, the word trodden means to trample or tread on it. You know, when you trample or tread on it, you walk and you step on it. Now, there's a way that you can do that disrespectful. Just like we hear the term, people think that you are a doormat. And when you hear people use that term, that means they're disrespectful, like they're running all over you in a disrespectful way. And so these wicked men are the men that don't respect even the way of the Lord. There's no respect for the Lord's way. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost. So when the word of the Lord said to the wicked destruction, it is those that don't even respect the way of the Lord. Don't even respect the path in the to go that the Lord has laid down. Hallelujah. No respect for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for his spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for the word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for hallelujah. The second book of Chronicles chapter 24, verse 7 said, "For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam." Okay. The word wicked here for in the original Hebrew means a female wicked doer, a wicked woman. Okay. And her sons was involved, as they say, breaking up the house of God. And that's what, when wickedness spreads, that's what they do, breaking up the house of God. Today, you have the literal building what people call the house of God, but then you have the figurative, the spiritual side, where it's the people of God are called the household of God or the household of faith. And so this is what wickedness would do. It would seek to break up the house of God, even the people of God. Hallelujah. Glory. It's destruction to the wicked. See, the word of the Lord sent by Jesus through Elijah is to bring Christianity together as one, to flow together. Amen. But you have some out there whose mind is set on separation and in breaking up the people of God, especially those who are wicked. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. And so when the word of the Lord said to the wicked, destruction, okay, to the evil ones, to the vicious ones, to the ones that would cause distress or harm, to those who would trodden or disrespect the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who are spiritually been spread on the wickedness to their seed. Hallelujah. He said it's destruction. Destruction against them. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, even the wicked will even let their seed, their offspring, their children, even cause chaos in the house of God. You understand what I'm saying? They're not training their children in the way to respect the word or to respect the Lord or to respect the house of God or respect the saints of God, okay? Or respect even the literal building of the house of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, I thank God for his spirit. Amen. Glory to the living God. We're looking at, once again, some scriptures on to understand who is the wicked. The word of the Lord said this word is destruction against. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised, and he's worthy to be glorified. Amen. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 15. Because once again, the Lord says that this word of the Lord that he's sending through the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah that Jesus mentions and spoke about, he was sent, Matthew 17 and Malachi 4, that this word would take on the role of destruction to the wicked. Okay? See, God is a God of accountability. Okay? He ain't like man, you know, let some go that they like. Amen? Can do all kinds of wickedness. You know, and God is the most just judicial system you'll ever find. You look at our judicial system in America alone today. Very unfair. The judicial system is way more punishment heavy on a certain race. Amen. It's not fair or just, but God's judicial system is just. Amen. Now, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26, now, once again, we're still talking about the wicked. What does the scriptures tell us about the wicked so we can understand when God said that to the wicked, destruction? Hallelujah. And we have defined the wicked from Webster, who said the wicked is evil, fierce, vicious people. They're likely to cause harm, distress, or trouble. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant, right words. Do you hear that? See, the word of God said even the thoughts, very thoughts of the wicked is abominable. You know, abomination is not just sin. We need to understand that. Yes, does it go in the category of sin? Sure it does, but it ain't just sin. When God calls something an abomination, he really detests it. It ain't just regular sin. It's something that he really detests. Like, and some of y'all heard me give you this example before. I know many of y'all know, probably know by now, I just can't stand chitlins, but I have to use the example. Now, there are certain foods I don't like. I just don't like them, and I don't eat them. But when it comes to chitlins, I really just don't like it. I really detest it. I don't like to look at it. I don't even like to smell it cooking. Well, that's like with God, an abomination. Now, God is not for sin, but when he calls something an abomination, he really detests that thing, okay? And he said even the very thoughts of the wicked, hallelujah. The wicked here is called unrighteous, unjust, or evil even morally. That's what the wicked is called here in this verse. That's what they refer to in this verse. The wicked, and I'm looking at something wrong here. But the wicked, according to the Hebrew, original Hebrew word there, it means bad, evil naturally or morally. That's what the word wicked in the original Hebrew word means here, okay? So he said that the thoughts of the wicked, of the bad, of the naturally evil or morally evil person is abomination, okay? That even their behavior is just evil, okay? It's an abomination in the sight of God, that even the very thoughts. Hallelujah. So when the word of the Lord said to the wicked is destruction, to those who are just bad and naturally evil, or who are evil even morally, okay? Even in their behavior and all that, God said even their thoughts is abomination. And so he said, to them, this word would be destruction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for, hallelujah, for the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. We're getting an overall view of who is the wicked that the Lord is talking about in the word of the Lord when he said to the wicked destruction. Amen. This word, if you fight against it in your wickedness, because here's the thing, when you're operating in wickedness, you're going to come against truth. You know, some people want to claim that neutral stuff. That neutral stuff ain't going to last. Amen. In fact, when Christ returns, you're going to see who's for Christ and who's not. It ain't going to be no neutral people. Okay? It's like today now they're coming with this neutral gender stuff. First they got the transgender, now the neutral gender. No, we man just got all over the place. It just got ridiculous. Coming up with all these names and stuff like that, like God is going to honor. God is not going to honor. He's going to honor what he set up. And what he created, male or female, that's what you call. Amen? And you're called according to how he had constructed the body. Not according, you see that, and I don't mean to get off on this, but I have to say this. You see how people is trying to change something God constructed. The Bible tells us that God tempered the body together. See, God put the body, made it, declared its function, and all that. And so when you came into this world as a male, you had male body parts and all that. God set up the male to be structured a certain way, just like he set up the female. So therefore, God was not in the mistake-making business. You don't find nowhere in the scripture where the Lord said, oops, I made a mistake. I was intending for you to be a woman, but you come out a man. My bad, I missed it. No, you would not find nothing like that. And man is calling himself trying to be God and said, well, I feel like I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. So I'm going to change my, quote, gender. That don't work. Because in the sight of God, if you came as a woman, that's how he see you. I don't care how many surgeries and stuff you claim to have that you want to call change your gender, God is not going to accept that. Amen? You want to change your name to a woman name, God is not going to accept that. Amen? He's not going to accept that. And I stand with God on that. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Amen. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 3. Amen. Now, for those of you who wants to holler and say, oh, we're not Old Testament, you're messing up. The spiritual principles still apply, people. God is still against wickedness. If he calls something wickedness in the Old Testament, sin, evil, guess what he called it today? So let's stop with the, but you the Old Testament, we are with New Testament, blah, blah, blah. Let's understand the fullness about this. There's words in the Old Testament that's still the word of God. We don't do the law of Moses anymore. That's been fulfilled. Amen? But what he called adultery, sin in the Old Testament, he called it a sin in the New Testament. Okay? Amen. Now, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 19. He said, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, he said, if you warn the wicked, and see, the wicked is going to commit wickedness. Even his way, according to the word of God here, is wicked. Okay? Do we see that? In the original Hebrew here, the wicked, or in other words, it means the actively bad person. Actively and bad. Not just being called bad, but they're active. They're doing bad things. Their ways are wicked. They're actively doing wickedness. It ain't no just talking about it. They're actually doing it, okay? Hallelujah. And the word of God is showing us here that the wicked operates in wickedness, and even his way is wicked. So when the word of the Lord said this word to the wicked will be destruction, those who are operating in wicked ways, who operate in wickedness, is the wicked, okay? Hallelujah. Especially if he turn not from his wicked way. Because he would die, according to the word of God here, in his iniquity. So the wicked commits iniquity also. You understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And God said this wicked person would die in his iniquity if he don't repent. So the wicked has to turn away from wickedness in order to be spared. So when the word of the Lord said this word is destruction to the wicked, okay, especially to those who refuse to turn from wickedness and remain in wicked, he said this word is destruction for you. It will bring you to ruins. It will bring you down. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we're looking at the word of God. See, who's the wicked? He's talking about who represents the wicked? What does the word have to say so we can get understanding of the wicked? Well, that's what the word is telling us. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We thank God for his word. Amen. We thank God for his word. And see, we notice here that, you know, God is a God of love. Even when people are wicked, God still wants them warned. You notice that. He still give them a chance. You know, some people, you know, you just get out of the way. They say, shoot, I don't care about it, forget them. But see, people don't understand the love of God. The love of God, even if you're wicked, God still gives you a chance to turn from being wicked. See, it's just like people in hell now. They can't say I wasn't given a chance. But they chose to reject Jesus, not accept him, chose to go their own route, and so that's the place you end up at. See, once again, God is the true and living God, and he is a person of accountability. And like I said, he's not like man. Because man, you know, they tend to let folks go who they like, who they're close to. Maybe they're the same color, same gender. Man, all kinds of things can interfere with man's judgment. And that which is right, where he allowed to interfere, where to a point that he doesn't hold people accountable. Okay? You know, this is like in the churches. You know, some pastors, I mean, people can play all in the church and do everything in the church, and the pastors don't say nothing. Some of them don't hold people accountable for what they're doing because they are afraid. But what are they afraid of? Well, they're afraid of losing bodies. Okay? Because we're living in a time today where, you know, churches are gloating over how many people they got join the church. I ain't saying gloating about people getting saved. I'm talking about they're gloating about how many members they got. And don't mind bragging about it. They say, well, I built an hallway full. I used to hear that from different people through the years. You know, I built an hallway full, and they were just smiling. And I come to find out some of them were saying that because they was more proud of the bodies. It wasn't so much as being saved and walking in holiness. You understand what I'm saying? But it was because we have a church, a building full of people. And so when they come to work and talk about, and they said, well, what do you do yesterday? Oh, we had a great service. You know, we always have the building full. You know, and you go, well, okay, yeah, praise the Lord. But see, you come to find out that sometimes someone, when they're telling you that, they're gloating over how many people they got. It's not about walking in holiness or living for Christ. It's about how many people you have. And so this is why you have different churches at odds with one another, because they're trying to outdo one another. And, quote, as they say, steal one another's members, okay? Because for the simple fact is, I want the bragging rights to how many people I have members of the church, okay? And see, don't get me wrong. God is for growth, but he's for growth the right way, okay? That's what he's for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we thank God for the word of God. We thank God for growth. Amen. The right way. Thank you, Jesus. The right way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's go to the New Testament here. And for those of you, know some of you just go, oh, man, we're in the New Testament. Okay, now that's where we at. Yeah, okay. But anyhow, let's go to the second book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 7. Actually, I'm going to read verse 4 to verse 7, and verse 7 is going to be our key verse. Second book of Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 to verse 7. See, once again, we're looking at the scriptures that are telling us about the wicked. What do we need to know about the wicked? That the word of the Lord says that this message will be destruction to the wicked. We're looking at finding and understanding who is the wicked. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through verse 7, the word of God said, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that are after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, the conversation, word conversation here, dealing with the lifestyle. So the wicked lives a filthy lifestyle, okay? Hallelujah. The word wicked here in the original Greek means to be unruly or not restrained or controlled by law. They are lawless. So first and the greatest of all, the wicked do not want to be controlled even by the law or the word of God. They refuse to be restrained or controlled by God's word. That's what God is talking about, the wicked, who is, this word is going to be destruction against, okay? They're unruly. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? They can't be controlled or refuse to be restrained or controlled by the word of God. See, when you're born again and you are the kingdom of God, you're given laws, and the purpose of the laws is to control and constrain us, okay? To keep us from getting all out of the way, okay? Hallelujah. And you got people that just refuse to do it. And the thing about it, you're going to have some people who was once believers, they're going to turn wicked because they're going to get to a point where they refuse to be restrained or controlled by the word of God. And when you read in the scriptures like Matthew and all that, and it tells you about how God is going to cleanse his kingdom here on earth, separating the sheep from the goats and removing out of his kingdom all things that offend, he said, then shall the righteous shine. Okay? So once again, the wicked here are people who have a filthy conversation. They live a filthy lifestyle of sin and evil, and refuse to be controlled by the law of the word of God. See, when you refuse that, you can't help but to go wicked. You can't help but to go wicked. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Thank God for the word of truth. So this is what the word of the Lord said, the wicked, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The wicked. Hallelujah. Filthy conversation, the wicked. The word of the Lord is telling us that they who live a filthy lifestyle and they who refuse to be controlled by the word of God, God said that's wicked. And so God gives a chance. God said, you warn them in his wickedness, they turn. Okay, hey. They would be delivered. They have to turn from their wickedness. If not, they would die in their iniquity. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, let's go to one more scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to look at verse 33 to verse 41. And Jesus, hallelujah, was giving a parable, hallelujah, when he come into the temple, and the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. And he's talking with them, and he gave them a parable in Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. To verse 41. Verse 41 going to be our key verse because we're talking about the wicked night. Verse 33, the word of God said, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower, let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence or respect my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they called him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what would he do unto those husbandmen? And that's the question Jesus asked them. As Jesus gave his parable, and he said, what is the Lord is going to do to these husbandmen who supposed to be, in a sense, working for the certain householder, but was beating the servants who came, stoning and killing them. And as he sent his son, he said, hey, he's the heir. Let us kill him and let us seize his on his inheritance to take something, quote, that didn't belong to them. That's what the wicked does. And the question was, when the Lord cometh, when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? In verse 41, they said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Now, the wicked we see right here are the ones who would even kill. In this parable, Jesus dealing with here with the servants he sent was the servants of the Lord. And the wicked will be the ones who will even kill Jesus' servants and even seek to destroy the Lord Jesus himself if they could. They are, according to the Greek word, they are worthless, inwardly. They operate in the spirit to kill that which is godly. Okay? Because we know the parable is dealing with Jesus, what the Jews would do to him and all that. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's what the wicked do. See, remember in Matthew 24, he said, and then shall they deliver you up? Well, who do you think going to deliver you up? It ain't the righteous. It's not delivering you up to be killed and afflicted. It's going to be the wicked. Okay? The wicked are those who will fight against that which is godly. They will fight against the servants of the Lord. They will seek to kill and destroy them. Sound familiar, don't it? Sound like the spirit of the enemy, don't it? But that's what the wicked takes on, the spirit of the enemy, to steal, kill, and destroy, especially that which is godly. You know, just like we look at in the book of Chronicles, Athaliah, the female wicked doer whose sons went to destroy or break up the house of God, okay? Figuratively speaking, we can see the nature of the enemy. You come to destroy, break up. That's what the wicked does, okay? Amen. And he said, the word of the Lord would be destruction to the wicked. Amen. See, God is in the accountability business, people, whether people believe it or not. See, that's man, like I said, who wants to pick and be biased and pick sides, want to hold this accountable but the other one not. See, every man is going to have to give an account of his work, good or evil. You're going to have to give an account of what you do. There ain't going to be no let. See, today you may can get away from some stuff from the judicial system, but you ain't going to get away from God's judicial system. You understand what I'm saying? Thank God that his judicial system is existent. Because if we had to totally depend on this judicial system, oh my God, we will be in worse shape than what we in now. Okay? But thank God that we can look to the judicial system of God, which is just, righteous, and true. The judicial system of God does not favor a race or color. It does not favor a gender. Okay? Amen? Now I'm going to pass my caller on here. God bless you.
Yeah, this is just Sally Bruce. This is just Sally Bruce listening in.
Oh, God bless you, Sister Sally. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, praise the Lord.
Doing
thank
good.
God for you. We
just
here just looking at the third message concerning the wicked. God sent this message
Amen.
To the wicked is destruction. We just been looking at who is the wicked. The Word of God tells us, and we saw from the scriptures, the wicked are the ones who refuse to be restrained by the law or the word of God. Okay?
Amen.
They are ones who live a filthy lifestyle, and they fight against that which is godly. Okay? And we're grateful to the Lord that the word let us know who represents the wicked. And so in the third message, he said that this word, when you read like the second verse, he tells you how this word takes on different roles. He said, to the wise, a warning. to the sleeper an awakening. And he said to the wicked destruction. And so anyone that fight against this word, because that's what the wicked does, will be brought down. It will bring you to ruins. Okay, it will bring you down. And so that's what we have been looking at tonight. And just been looking into the messages of the word of the Lord. We've been looking at now tonight the third message. And, you know, just going at a certain pace. And, you know, just thanking God for the manifestation through the word to help us understand who is the wicked. The wicked, the evildoer. And we did see in Ezekiel that even the wicked, God gives a chance to turn. He tells us that if we will warn the wicked, but if he turned out from his wickedness or his wicked way, then he would die in his iniquity. So even though, you know, you may get out the way and man say, shoot, I ain't studying by telling her nothing. God says, you know, I'm still going to give you a chance. And I want my word to be told to you so you can have a chance to repent. If you don't, then it will be destruction against you. So therefore, you know, God gives people a chance. And just like people in hell, you know, they rejected the chance. Okay? And God dealt with them and given them a chance to turn and repent, but people refused to do so. So, sister, I'm going to give you a minute, if you would, to speak on that. Amen. Amen. So we're grateful for the word of God today, sister, and it's very important that people understand that, you know, it is important to take hold of the word and not fight against it. And the Lord right now is having his word to go forth. And for us to give the word to the people, he said, because this is a time of haste when much must be done. Okay, and so when we read the 24th chapter of Matthew, we are already in the time of the wars, the rumors of wars, the pestilence, earthquakes, famines, which in verse 8 he said, these are the beginning of sorrows. And then the next verse, he said, and then shall they deliver you up. We're getting ready to come up on the and then. We're getting ready to come into the hour of being delivered up to be afflicted and killed. And it's time that the people of God open their eyes and get themselves prepared in a closer connection with Jesus, because we're going to need it. It happened in the day of the early church, and it's going to happen today in the time of the latter church. Our God is not a biased God. He is not going to let the early church suffer their time of seeing false Christ and false prophets and being delivered and killed. And we're talking about we're going to be raptured up and snatched up any day. I'm sorry. That's not happening. Okay. Because he's not a biased God. So, sister, before we tune out, I want to give you a chance to say anything that you want to say, sister, concerning the lesson before we tune out.
Yes, I was just, I love that message, and the Lord had me in the end time, too. And just like you said, just as in the days of Noah, you know, the people were still building, giving in marriage, and until the day that the Lord came. And so that's the way it's going to be. And you say he's coming like a thief in the night. And so are we ready? So,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You're right, sister. And I pray that everyone heard you on that and heard even the question that you asked, because I pray that it will ring in their spirit. Are you ready? You know, are you ready? And if you're not ready, are you getting ready? Okay, so, you know, that's the question. That I pray to every individual, that question that you laid out would just ring in their spirit, because we're going to find out that God meant what he says, and you're going to find out why you really needed to be obedient to the instruction that he gave. Amen? Mm-hmm. So we are grateful to God for that. So I'm going to get ready to offer a closing prayer before we close mm-hmm. out. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. We thank you for your spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. We ask, Lord God, this day in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, that you would bless everyone that heard in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And we ask that you would touch them in their spirit and in their hearts today and reveal unto them what thus says the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we pray and, Father, we thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And amen.
Amen.
Thank God
amen.
For his word. And I said to all of you, don't forget tomorrow, Brother Daniel Rogers is going to be on, I think, at 5 o'clock. And then Brother Manny Murphy will come on later on at 7. Amen. Praise be to God.
Amen.
So look for the advertisements there. So once again, we thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast. This is Brother Nate and join with Sister Sally Bruce. God bless you all, and may God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sister.
Amen. God bless.